Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as I continue to broadcast, actually wrapping up my week, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, and having a great time down here. And I'm very excited about having our good friend Grace Marie Turner back on the show. Grace Marie, ladies and gentlemen, is the world's expert on healthcare public policy. And she joins us, and she and I have been talking about healthcare reform for a long time, all the way back, probably at least 11 years. Grace Marie has been a member of our Brain Trust. She's the president of the Galen Institute, an outstanding organization that's fighting hard for free marketplace solutions to healthcare reform. And we're so happy to say that she's our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. Welcome back to the show.
It's nice to be with you, Jim. The only thing is that I think we can say for ourselves is we've never talked health reform at 7 hours at a stretch.
No, that's... Yeah, by the way...
That's Grace, over the top even for me.
I'm going to demand that we have equal time on the show today. That was so funny.
Oh, my
You know,
goodness.
It was interesting on both sides of the aisle. I'm sure that was interesting for Americans to watch both of these guys. I mean, you know, let's face it, Grace Marie, you don't become a national politician if you don't have a pretty big ego.
That's right.
I mean, those guys, I think I can just imagine as those guys tried to enter the room, seeing some of the aides pushing them from behind them because they were having trouble getting the bodies and the egos all in the room.
All in the same room.
You know what I mean? I can see them kind of like trying to put a balloon in a box or something, you know, just squeezing them in there. But it was interesting. So folks, if you just woke up from a coma, yesterday the president convened a healthcare summit of the leadership from both sides of the aisle, House and Senate, in the Blair House, just across the street from the White House, and they talked they were together about 7 hours, weren't they?
That's right.
Yeah. And we were, Grace Marie was teasing about the time thing. Just to state what I think is the facts, I'm not making an observation here, a judgment, a value judgment here. But of that 7 hours, I think the Republicans, I remember this number, the Republicans spoke for 110 minutes, and President Obama and the Democrats spoke all the other time.
233 right? minutes.
Right. And the president spoke more than all of the Republicans combined, just by himself.
And all and more than all the Democrats combined.
Oh, he did? Okay. I missed that part.
He felt he needed to rebut everything that the Republicans said at length. And then, oh, by the way, the Democrats get a chance to talk to Rockefeller and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all the John Durbin and all the others. So, you know, it was a stacked deck, which is what I think is amazing, that the Republicans sort of held their own. But Harry Reid started out by basically having a time clock. He said early on that, well, the Democrats have spoken for 54 minutes. And the Republicans have spoken for 23 or 24. And the president said, well, that counts my time. I'm the president. Mine doesn't count.
Well, you know, but you know, Grace Marie, I got to say, I don't know if this was a good thing for the president or not, but I think it was, or the Republicans, but I think it was a good thing for Americans. I actually enjoyed seeing the Republicans and the Democrats, but the Republicans and the president actually interrupting each other and saying, well, wait a minute, that's not quite right. I actually enjoyed that kind of conversation.
It was really quite remarkable. And this really built off of the president's visit to the Republican House retreat in late January. And I actually was presenting, doing a panel there. So I was in the room when that happened. And it was clear to me that the Republicans were really holding their own in engaging the president sort of one-on-one, but the optics were terrible. The president is standing on a stage behind a podium, draped, you know, with flags behind him, and looking down on the audience, with talking down to the Republicans, who are in bad light. You know, the optics were bad. So they signed, they said, okay, let's have eye level. Everybody's around the table, hollow square, and the Republicans clearly held their own. I think the White House is actually sort of ticked off about this. They thought it was a slam dunk.
I heard Mitch McConnell, the senior Senate Republican, say on Sunday, they asked about whether this thing was going to, ask him whether this thing was actually going to come off. He said, well, we're working on how things are going to be arranged. And he was basically talking about the room.
And I
thought that was very interesting that, you know, that the jury was still out on whether they were going to be happy with how things were going to happen, how they were going to be seated.
And it's really interesting that they chose this small room in Blair House across the street from the White House that was tiny. And, of course, they also had to get each member, most members got to bring a senior staff person.
It almost looked like a subcommittee, some kind of a subcommittee. We're back. It's 17 till. Little James Brown there for us. James, the late, great godfather of soul. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. I'm Jim Blassingame, your host. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. We hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Grace Marie is the president of the Galen Institute. Nobody on the planet does more to promote the ideas of market solutions for healthcare reform, and she and I have been talking about this topic for a long time. Grace Marie, I'm very proud to say that you know, you and I were talking about healthcare reform before healthcare was cool.
That's
make your living doing that, and it's just been a stalwart out there and keeping the faith on this topic. So, what did you?
Going into
this thing, I thought it might be a trap for the Republicans. It turns out, I think everybody believes that they held their own. Maybe even they may have even won the day. What do you think?
Well, I think that it was a real win for the Republicans because Republicans hate health care reform. For years, they've thought this is the Democrats' issue. We don't want to touch it. We believe in markets. We don't want the government to take over the health care system. And incrementally, year after year, decade after decade, the government plays a larger role in the health sector, now over 50%. So I think finally, and this really showed it yesterday, Republicans have taken ownership of this issue. They get it. The leadership understands it. They can articulate their positions. They actually have positions. And I think they realize now not only can they speak articulately about this issue, but I think they have a real conviction to do something if they were ever to get power back, which is really
well. They need to because they don't. They're not going to win any hearts and minds by denying that the healthcare system needs to be improved.
Right.
And you and I've been talking about improvements. I mean, you've been one of the main people out there pointing out that yes, we do need reform, but it needs to be market based through portability and changing the tax code and things like that, buying across state lines. I mean, you and I were talking about buying across state lines probably before Mike Inslee ever thought of it. But what I want to ask you is, do you think was there anything constructive between the parties, not the public watching, but between the people there? Did anybody's mind get changed, adjusted, altered? Was there any kind of movement one way or the other, do you think?
You know, the people that they were trying, whose minds they were trying to change, were not in the room. What they need, what Nancy Pelosi needs, is to get to 217 votes in the House. They're down on their numbers, so 217 is now the majority of votes to pass the Senate bill through the House. So the audience was rank and file Democrats who weren't there, who needed to see that this summit was a game changer, and it was not. So as a result, they really didn't make any progress in moving forward, and Democrats are increasingly skittish the closer they get to elections. to vote for a bill that's increasingly unpopular. I mean, if they vote for the Senate bill, they have to vote for the Cornhusker kickback and
right.
the Louisiana Purchase and all
which
of the
now,
other poor.
Which now has been distributed to everybody, hasn't it?
Well, that's in the fix. So then they got to get a fix, another bill through that fixes that. That's where they think they can do this in the Senate with 51 votes, but that has to come after the fact. So there's a lot of trust that needs to happen here.
Right.
A, that the Senate, that the House will pass this, the Senate bill, swallow hard, pass all this stuff it hates, and then that the Senate will be able to come up with 50 votes plus the vice president to pass
now,
a bill that fixes it. I just going to
now
be
the
fine.
Bill. Now, Grace Marie, the. That's just to pass the bill by itself without not counting reconciliation, right?
Well, no, that's the two part. It's a two part thing. You got to pass the Senate bill through the House and then
right.
reconcile the fixes in the Senate and the House. So that's they've got to do a two bill strategy.
Right, and but the second part of that is the ramming it through part, right?
It's all going to be ramming it through with just an ultra partisan vote in the Senate,
right.
And that's what Harry Reid said.
Do you think
basically we're going to do it?
If Pelosi can get the votes, if she thinks she has the votes, do you think that they will try it's called the nuclear option, right?
Yeah, well, I hate to use that term, but basically reconciliation, which is basically jamming it through. And
right.
Do you think they'll try it? I think that the harder thing is in the House. I think that Nancy Pelosi doesn't have 217 votes. If she did, that bill would be on the floor tomorrow. There are many Democrats.
If she did, they wouldn't have had the meeting yesterday, would they?
Well, yeah, that's right. They're Democrats who are absolutely not going to change their vote to vote for this thing. There's no gain whatsoever in it,
mm-hmm.
And they've lost several members, one who's changed their mind, the Republican who says, I'm not going to vote for this. You've got at least a dozen Democrats who are very concerned about the Senate.
The yellow dogs
probably are language.
There.
Yeah, the blue dogs.
I mean the blue dogs. There's actually a yellow dog Democrat out there. There's another
right.
term for that. But then I grew up talking about, but the blue dogs, yeah.
The conservative,
moderate.
And then you've got the abortion
Democrat.
Caucus. I mean, there are some very difficult things
right.
that the Senate, that Pelosi has to jam through. And I don't think they see any political gain in it. I still believe that they are going to do absolutely everything possible to get this through. But right now, the numbers don't add up to me.
But the Republicans left that meeting, not being swayed at all. They still say we have to start. Aren't they still saying we have to start from scratch and that we got to scrap this bill?
Isn't
that the position they left with?
Representative Cantor had a copy of the bill, really sort of ticked the president off.
Hold on to that thumb. I'll let you pick up on that right after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingham, having a great visit, very illuminating visit. From our good friend, Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. That's Galen, GALEN.org. You got to go to that website. You got to talk, see what these guys have got going on. Very high quality stuff. Stay with me. I'll be right back. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, especially when we have our good friend Grace Marie Turner on the show with us. And so she's my hero, folks, many levels, but especially when it comes to fighting the good fight for marketplace solutions to healthcare reform. Grace Marie, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. I, for all that you do for this cause and ultimately directly and indirectly for small business, we thank you.
And Jim, I have to say, too, that small business is absolutely on the front lines in this health reform debate, and they know
are.
It. If this bill doesn't work for them, this bill doesn't work. And every indication is that it's not only not going to help them with health care costs, it's going to increase their health care costs. This is
right.
not a solution. And I so appreciate all you do to give us the opportunity to inform small business owners that this bill, if they want solutions, it's worse to pass this bill than to do nothing.
And folks, as you know, and Grace Marie, you've heard me say this before, my position in this is not a Republican or a Democrat position. My position is I belong to the Small Business Party.
Right.
And if there's any legislation, Republican or Democrat authored, that's going to hurt small businesses, then I'm going to be fighting against it.
You know, and if the Republicans were to get together with these conservative Democrats, they could be a majority. They could pass this. But it's the leadership that controls the agenda. So there, I think there is a majority support to do the right thing in Congress, but the leadership won't let that legislation come to the floor. So
and the right thing, in our opinion, you and I agree on this, is making health care portable so that so that I can take it with me wherever I work, making allowing small businesses to buy insurance, well, everybody to buy insurance across state lines, thus avoiding the egregious mandates that states like California and New York and Connecticut and New Jersey have, and those kinds of things, helping Americans become healthcare consumers, not just healthcare patients.
That's exactly right, and there really are. There's so many solutions. I mean, Utah has a great solution, basically allowing small businesses to pool together, do a defined contribution so that people can choose from among four or five different health plans, kind of treating it like a big company's health benefit plan. But small businesses, basically all they have to do is write a check and let them, and let their employees decide. Then the health insurance can be portable. There are great solutions out there.
Do you see more and more people are proposing to let the states be the incubators of health care reform, like they did with welfare reform. Do you like that idea?
There are some things that need to be done at the federal level to fix flawed policy, the tax treatment of health insurance.
Like the interstate part.
Well, and allowing interstate commerce. But there's the states are the ones who really have to, they have to create the safety net. They have to figure out how you're going to allow people to purchase health insurance that have pre-existing conditions. You can have some federal money to do that, but the states are too different, and they have too many different problems and resources for there to be one federal solution that's going to work for 300 million Americans. We've got to allow a multiplicity, states' rights, some federal money, and mostly fixing some of the flaws in the federal policy that are causing the problems in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And folks, anything that resembles a 20th century solution is completely obsolete and out of date here in the 21st century. And there's an awful lot in this bill that they're trying to pass through the House and the Senate right now, the one they debated yesterday. There's an awful lot in that bill that are still 20th century approaches, aren't they?
Yeah. They want to lock in the employment-based system. They want to force employers to purchase health insurance, pay fines and penalties and higher taxes if they don't do it. The government defines what the policies are going to be, exorbitantly expensive, much more expensive than people can afford now. This is a really retro kind of solution, thinking, okay, we're going to go back to the 20th century and see if we can make that work better. So wrong for a 21st century mobile economy.
Grace Marie, I've got about 30 seconds left. 9 months ago, you and I believed that this bill would pass. The beginning of this year, in my predictions, I said the Congress would pass.
We were going to do this.
The president would sign a health care bill. What do you think now?
I still think it's 50-50. I've never seen such determination for them to do this. They're willing to lose power in order to get control of our health care system.
Well, that's courage of convictions. I've always admired that, Chris.
But it's the rank and file. It's the rank
and
file.
It's interesting. We'll see,
difference.
Folks, and we'll see pretty soon. Grace Marie, thank you again for all you do, and we appreciate you being here today.
Thanks so much, Jim. Always a pleasure.
We'll see. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, one of my heroes. No question about that. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, signing off from Houston, Texas. I'll be back to regular next week, back to regular environs. Notice I didn't say normal. There's nothing normal about anything that goes on around here. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.